Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
We do our best. Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I'm always a little bit scared but very excited when we have Mario Rosenstock on the show. He's going to be with us after 4 o'clock. He'll come in with his many voices and his much slagging. A man of many voices and much slagging. That's his T-shirt. It's always very entertaining, but you can be sure I'll be the butt of a number of jokes. So that's the scary part of it. So Mario's here. Glenn Hansard is here as well. Glenn has recorded a song for Ukraine. And he's here with Anna, who's from Ukraine, and Joe on double bass. And they're going to sing the song for us live in studio. And we'll have a chat as well. Glenn recently became a daddy for the first time. So we'll be talking about fatherhood and how it's changed his view of the world, etc., etc., as Yul Brynner said in The King and I. Eimear O'Neill is with us as well. Eimear, you know, from the hub during lockdown. And Eimear wants to represent Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest, among other things. So we'll have to chat with her about that and other things, as I say. Now, yesterday we spoke to Gráinne from Limerick, and Gráinne was on a flight back from Sweden recently. She got a tap on the shoulder and a complete stranger handed her a teddy bear. And so starts a beautiful story. Well, it was the middle of the story for the teddy bear, but the beginning of the story for Gráinne. The teddy bear's name is Bonnie. And Bonnie is a teddy bear owned originally by Ice. And Ice is a primary school teacher in a little place called Västernvägen in Sweden. And her and her pupils are reading a story about a teddy bear that goes on adventures. And Ice said, well, why don't we get a teddy bear and send the teddy bear on an adventure? So they got Bonnie, who was Ice's teddy bear, and they sent it off. And it ended up on a flight from Sweden to Dublin. Gráinne was on that flight. She now has Bonnie. And she told us about Bonnie yesterday. And big news in Gráinne's world, not only has she got Bonnie, but she's getting married in a few weeks. So she's holding on to Bonnie. And yesterday, when she told her story, we got loads of offers from people travelling all over the world, to Vietnam, to Australia. People offered to make dresses for little Bonnie, the teddy bear, for the wedding and all sorts of things. So it's a story that's gathering legs. And if you have a suggestion of where Bonnie should be and what Gráinne should do with Bonnie, do get it into us, ray@rte.ie. But it's a wonderful story, little Bonnie. And of course, I forgot to tell you that Bonnie comes with a note around her neck, and it is that you pass it on to the next person. And then they hope that Bonnie will be back in Västernvägen in Sweden May of next year, which I presume, although I don't know, I presume is the end of their term. And it'll be back there with the second class students who we heard from yesterday. I love this because you might have heard me over the years saying fake it till you make it. And it even works with smiles, I was saying. But now there's research to back up what I've been saying. So even if you don't feel like smiling and you force a smile, it makes you happier. Yes, a global team of researchers led by scientists from Stanford University in California collected data from 3,878 participants from 19 countries. And they got them to do one of three things. So a third were told to hold a pen in their mouth. Now do that. You can't smile and hold a pen in your mouth, right? That was one third. Another third were asked to mimic a smiling face, right? Pretend they were smiling. And the final third, you have to be careful when you're from the Midlands and you're saying third. The final third were asked to move the corners of their lips towards their ears, which is probably similar to, you know, feigning a smile. Anyway, analysis of the data revealed a noticeable increase in happiness from participants mimicking smiling or pulling their mouth towards their ears, as opposed to the people with the pen in their mouths. It's uncomfortable to have a pen in your mouth, so maybe that's why they weren't happy. But there you go. Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. There's that brilliant book, the Dalai Lama and psychiatrist Howard C. Cutler. And it's called The Art of Happiness, yeah. And in that, they talk about faking it till you make it. And even if you don't feel like smiling, smile. And it'll make you happy. It'll make you happy. Scientific proof now. Happy are the Irish cricket team because they beat the West Indies. And Liz Truss may be leading the BBC News in the UK, as you would expect. But leading the BBC Sports News today is the Irish cricket team. The headline is, Brilliant Ireland advanced to T20 World Cup by dumping out two-time champions West Indies with a 9-wicket victory in Hobart. They interviewed Gareth Delaney, one of the team, one of the Irish team. He's an all-rounder. He was very excited, very happy indeed. That's not it. There.
It's obviously an incredible day for us. This time last year, I think we were all sitting around in the dressing room after probably one of the toughest days for a lot of us. So to get over the line today in such a, in the fashion that we did, is it's amazing.
That was the theme tune to some cricket program back in the day. There you go. Well done, lads. That's a great win. Historic win. This comes up every so often, and I always share it with you, but swearing is good for you. Again, scientifically proven. A review of more than 100 academic papers showed that the use of a taboo word can deeply affect the way we think, act, and relate to each other. Swear words apparently activate parts of our limbic system, command more attention, and are better remembered than other words. The study showed that swearing also improved our relationship with others. In experiments requiring people to submerge a hand in icy water, they proved that swearing produced pain relief and that vocalising a swear word leads to higher pain tolerance and higher pain threshold. Now, that sounds to me like exactly something I read out last year and probably 4 years ago and probably 5 years and probably 10 years ago. So I don't know what happens with this scientific research. Do people try and replicate it, or do people just somewhere in the world just go, oh yeah, issue that one again there, Mick. Issue that one again. And then it makes it its way into the papers, and then people like me read it out on radio shows. Maybe that's the way it works. Anyway, this is good for Wicklow. Taylor Swift, you know, she's probably the biggest, one of the biggest singer-songwriters in the world. But she was in Ireland last year with her beau, Joe Alwyn. He was one of the actors in Conversations with Friends. So while he was... while he was acting away in Conversations with Friends, she was touring the country, and I think he did a bit of touring as well, and they went up north, and they were in Wicklow. And she's released new music now, and there's a song called Sweet Nothing, and Wicklow gets an honourable mention. Isn't that very exciting if you're from Wicklow? It's called Sweet Nothing, and I'll read you the lyrics, and then we listen to it. That's always better, isn't it? I spy with my little tired eye, she says, tiny as a firefly, a pebble that we picked up last July. Down deep inside your pocket, we almost forgot it. Does it ever miss Wicklow sometimes? Ah.
I spy with my little tired eye, tiny as a firefly, a pebble that we picked up last July. Down deep inside your pocket, we almost forgot it. Does it ever miss Wicklow sometimes?
Ooh. It's a nice notion. Does the little pebble miss Wicklow? Isn't that lovely? The Garden County mentioned in a Taylor Swift song. Yeah, that's good. Close enough to Wicklow is Blessington. Blessington is in Wicklow, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Sorry. And Blessington, Rossborough House there. And the reason I mention this is because Boo for Barrettstown is on next weekend. And Barrettstown do great work down there. They're actually in Kildare, but Boo for Barrettstown is in Rossborough House near Blessington. It's a family day out, and it's Halloween. There's a 2.5 kilometre walk through the atmospheric woodland, on a quest to spot spooky creatures along the way. You can choose one of three start times, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock, all next Sunday, 23rd of October, in the lead up to Halloween. And there's prizes for best fancy dress and all sorts of things. And you can find out more at barrettstown.org/boo for Barrettstown. And that's something that we're delighted to give a mention to. Now, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. As I said, Glenn Hansard is going to be with us. And believe it or not, it's 15 years since Once. 15 years since Once was released in the cinemas and went on to win an Oscar for Best Song Featured in a Movie. Good afternoon. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. That's Glenn and Marquita and Falling Slowly from Once. And Glenn will be joining us later on to perform his new song for Ukraine and have a chat. Now, thank you. We are looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Reeling in the Ears quiz. Three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize. Yes, there is. And this week it's a two-night stay for two people in one of the I Knew It Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels. So you can kick back in the chic Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, the Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, or any one of the Radisson Blue hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. There is something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or a delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the Inua collection. The choice is yours. Inua.ie. Okay, two people after 4 o'clock. Here is your qualifying question on this Friday afternoon. What number in Downing Street will Liz Truss get to live in for one more week? What number in Downing Street will Liz Truss get to live in for one more week? The number to ring is 0818715925, 0818715925, and good luck with that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, is there no end to Eimear O'Neill's talents? Not only did she help us keep in shape with Homeschool Hub during COVID, she's been busy presenting her own TV shows and co-hosting the St. Patrick's Day coverage and reporting into the afternoon show. Is it called the afternoon show?
The Today Show.
Sorry. Now she has decided to throw her hat into the ring to represent Ireland at next year's Eurovision Song Contest. Good afternoon, Eimear. We will talk to you about the Eurovision presently. But first, the other reason you're in it is that you're an ambassador for this competition, irevise.com. And they're looking for secondary schools, and they want to recognise second level schools that actively promote well-being as well as academic performance. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Correct, yes. So they are looking to give this prize out to a secondary school in Ireland, and it's the iRevise School of the Year competition. To enter, you enter with a 3-minute video of, you know, the stuff you're doing in school in terms of health and well-being, sustainability, might get you extra points too, but also academic performance. It's a great way, I think, for schools to showcase what they're doing. And if you're not doing it, you still have time to get on the bandwagon, you know, and start maybe promoting certain things in school. And, you know, within that video, 3 minutes, you should depict all the great things that you're doing.
Yeah,
and send it in.
Yeah.
And our closing date is Friday the 2nd. So there is over a month still to go, Friday the 2nd of December. So there is time, but I'd say get on it ASAP. On it. Some really amazing prizes.
So a 3-minute video outlining how their school promotes health, well-being and sustainability. And
exactly.
The total prize fund is €750,000.
Correct.
Now we've got their attention.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that first.
There is, yes, the School of the Year winner, but there's also 2 runner-ups and 5 regional winners. So there's a lot of opportunities out there. And also, the winning school can also nominate a staff member, so teacher, SNA, you name it. And if they are the winning school, that teacher will get a car for 1 year and also free home insurance for a year.
Wow.
Thanks to Cornmarket.
So irevise.com, because I know
it, yeah.
A lot of teachers are in their cars or just have arrived home, have switched on the radio.
Yeah.
So it's a good time.
It is a good time.
irevise.com. If you go there, you'll find out all the details about that competition. Good stuff. What were you like at school?
I suppose I was a little bit of a brat. The way I always talk about it is the thing that kept me in school was sport. That's what kept me going. That's what kept me going in. There was also a rule that you couldn't come in later in the day and go to your match still, you know, so you had to actually come in for the day of school.
Because
we smarty pants has got the great idea. Like, we just won't go to the school all day and we'll just come in for the match after school.
Yeah, and the match was basketball, but, was it always?
Well, basketball, Gaelic hockey, but basketball is my love. Yeah.
It's where you shone.
I suppose I had the height.
Yeah. As they say. But it's not a given then, is it?
It's not, and that's the thing with basketball. Like, one of the best players I've ever played with was tiny. She was like 5'3".
Yeah.
She's an amazing point guard. It's just like any sport, like rugby, you know, not everybody is like muscular and big and strong. You've got, you know, your agile.
Your Peter Stringers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though he is very strong also.
Yeah, he is. He's quite strong, yeah. He's about 5'6". I better not say, because he could be listening. Yeah, he's about 5'7".
Yeah. We're talking. Speaking of small and tall men and women,
we were talking about that before we went on air.
Yeah.
So because we have Dolly Alderton on Monday, and she writes as an agony aunt for the Sunday Times, and I'm reading her book at the moment. Anyway, the first letter that she responds to, it's a collection of letters that she's responded to over the years, is from a tall woman, and talking about her boyfriend who insists that she wear flats.
Flats, come on.
So
you can't be doing
what
that.
What height are you? You're
so I'm 6 foot with like just runners on.
Okay, right.
I probably the shortest guy I'd have dated would have been maybe 5'7", and that is a big difference, especially
it
if
is.
I
yes,
you know,
if you put
on my platforms,
yeah, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
How did that go for you?
Asher, like, look, it was fine, but you would get stares, you know, because I would, when I had the heels on, sure, I'm like 6'5" nearly.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, like, it's, I don't know, we're talking about this. It's a very shallow to not want to be with a guy because he's too small. I don't know. My husband's 6'5" now, so I hit the jackpot.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
I can wear the heels, you know.
And you have two children.
I have two kids, yeah.
Go on.
Kai is 8 and Sunny Ray is 2.
Right. Now, the Eurovision thing, this completely out of left field for me.
Yeah.
So you sing, obviously.
I sing, yeah. I've sang my whole life. I'm actually classically trained, but my genre now would be more jazz. My voice has changed over the years because I would have been a soprano, but I've gotten a lot deeper, my voice. I guess my voice broke. I don't know. But yes, and I would have done a lot of musicals and I did a lot of performances in The Mermaid and singing would generally, you know, take place. And I also got to sing with a chamber orchestra, the Greystones Orchestra, a couple of years ago. And that was incredible. And I've been in a couple of bands, you know, and I love my old karaoke too. You can't go wrong with that.
What's your karaoke tune?
My song, Give Me One Reason. Or House of the Rising Sun.
Give Me One Reason by Tracy Chapman.
Correcto.
What a banger. What a brilliant song. Yeah.
Or The House of the Rising Sun, which is also a banging tune.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like singing has been my life, basically. I wanted to go to school for singing and acting and my mum was like, and where will the money come in all of that? You know, sensible hat on here. Yeah. So I was like, fine, I'll be a teacher. She's like, you can do the singing as fun. And I did. And I always kept it up. I even took some singing courses in university. But I have always obsessed over the Eurovision. I think you're a super fan too. But like, I take this very seriously.
Yes.
Like I will have my notes out on my phone. I'll be looking at the choreography, the set design, you know, the melody, the lyrics, like everything. And I'm already trying to guess this and that and this and that and who's going to be in the finals, who's going to be in the, you know.
And you've probably had an opinion then why we haven't done as well as we used to do.
Yeah, like it kills me. I suppose the thing that I would always think, I generally love Eurovision songs that have like a feel of that country in them, you know, that, because
sometimes like the Serbian one was brilliant.
Yeah. Like I love
Ukrainian
that.
Ukrainian was great.
Like exactly.
And it's shining through more and more, isn't it?
And I think that's what it's all about. Like I love to see like the traditional instruments from those countries.
Mixed with contemporary.
And like even like their own language as well.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it can become extremely Americanized, you know, and then it is a time for learning. Like you've got millions of people all over the world watching. This is your time to kind of show the world what your country's all about and the, you know, the beautiful culture that lies behind your country.
Okay.
Not to say that my song is like extremely Irish and I won't be getting up and doing a jig or anything. But it's so I do speak Oscar Oge in the beginning.
Right.
And it does have a kind of an Irishy vibe to it, I would say. And
now we're at the early stages because the closing date reached the closing date for them.
So I think it opened last week or that.
And you've sent it in, have you?
I've sent it in, yes. Yeah, so
right. What's it called?
Take Me Home.
Right.
Dan O'Gorman wrote it and he's a musical genius. He's in a tribute band, Thinner Lizzy. right. Good name. He's a fantastic guitar player and just in general, he does a lot of sound design and music design.
Okay, can I ask you this? Because usually people send in the songs and we don't know about the machinations of it. Yeah. And then you know, a number of songs appear on The Late Late Show and that's it. And the people who have been disappointed, nobody knows.
No, I know.
Now, you're putting your head above the Eurovision parapet here.
But
you've come out publicly and said you've entered.
I actually heard another band on the radio and I was like, that's really good. Like, you know, because then, of course, I looked them up and they're a metal band, Cruachan, and I was like,
oh, they've entered and they've said it. Okay, so this is a change.
So, right. And I'm like, why not? Because I've obviously, like, I watched The Late Late when they had the actual contest on there, which I really loved how they did that because it put it in our hands as to choose, you know, who we wanted. It didn't necessarily have to be the most famous person or you're well known or anything. You know, everyone kind of had a chance, which was amazing. I want to talk about it. This could be as far as it goes for me. So like, I'm hype. I'm going to talk about it as much as I can.
And it's a very personal song because it talks about challenges with mental health.
Correct, yeah. So it means a lot to me. Lyrically, Dan was able to capture, you know, something that I quite just haven't been able to in words. But yeah, it talks about my mental health journey, you know, in a snippet. But generally, the feel of the song and what I wanted for the song is to let other people know that they're not alone. You know, and there's a lot of stigma surrounding mental health. And I think that stops us a lot of the time from talking about it. I know it stopped me. But I remember one day scrolling through Instagram and, you know, you can get caught up in it and you're scrolling and you can just feel your mental health depleting as you scroll. You're like, oh, what? I suck. This, oh, like everybody else is amazing. I suck. And then I came across someone who I would have followed for a long time, and she had a post up about her mental health and dealing with that. And I was really shocked because she was that type of person to me that I would say has the life, everything's perfect, like so lucky and woe was me, you know. And but it actually gave me strength. For her to have the courage to come out and speak about it gave me strength to, you know, want to speak about it and see the effects that that can have on others, to be able to break that stigma. And, you know,
I suppose, as you describe that person,
yeah,
you would be that person to a lot of people.
And that would be awesome. You know what I mean?
No, but I'm saying to you is people would think that you have the life of Riley and everything's going brilliantly for you.
Yes. So exactly. You hit it there, right? Yes, exactly. Yes, so FYI, yeah. Like, you know, being here, yes, you know, definitely would have struggled a lot with body confidence growing up, and just confidence in general. A lot of people would say, what? No. But yeah, that's a real thing, you know.
Like, and was it partly because of the race thing?
I think, yeah. I'd say that had a lot to do with it. But I suppose for me, my depression, I mean, obviously, in terms of racism, mental health is a huge factor and there's so much research done on it, but it can cause a great amount of things in terms of lack of confidence, body dysphoria, all those kind of things. But for me, when it came to a head was when my dad passed. So that was in 2009, and he was actually had moved back to Nigeria from London, and he'd been living there for the past like 3 or 4 years.
And he's a young man. It was a tragic accident.
Yeah, he was young. It was tragic. It was out of nowhere. And it was, yeah, I think it just brought a lot of underlying things that I hadn't dealt with to the forefront. The day of my graduation in the States, he had been planning to pick up my stepsister and bring her over to America. And it was to be one of the best days of my life. Like, yeah. I said, I was a little bit of a brat in school. So to be graduating college was, you know, I was proud of myself.
Big news.
It was big news. Yeah. I never thought I'd get there, you know. It's like really pinched me. But his funeral was actually on the exact same day of my graduation, would you believe? It's like, you know, could it be more ironic? So one of the days that was supposed to be the best of my life was one of the worst of my life. So I didn't want to go. And, you know, my mum is telling me, you got to go. He'd want you to go. And I wasn't able to go to the funeral because at the time, when you graduated, you had a 1-year visa that you were automatically granted when you graduated college. But if you leave the country, you forfeit that. Right. So if I had left kind of the whole life I was trying to build in the States, well, that, you know, would have been kaput. And the turnaround was so quick. So it was really, really hard to not
That's
be there.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can see it's still...
It is.
It still plays
but you
on
know
your
what?
Mind.
I, and this is very personal, but it's a reminder too to really keep the ones you love close. And if you have things going on in terms of falling outs, like, fix it. Because I remember I was still cross with him because he had forgotten my birthday. And I didn't ask for much from him, but that was one thing, you know. So I held on to that for a long time. And he actually called me on the Monday. And I saw him ringing. I looked at it and I said, I'm not going to answer. And then I said, oh, I will. So I went to go click answer and the call cut out. So he had hung up. And the next day I got a call from my mum.
That's
and
very sad.
It's so sad. Like, you actually couldn't write it.
No.
You kind of think, really? Like, why? But you know what? At the end of the day, I know he's up there. He's looking down. I want to make him proud. And yeah, it was hard to not have him for, you know, my wedding, to walk me down the aisle. But my mom has been there for me 100% my whole life.
She's, and then seeing what's happened over the last few years.
Yeah,
again,
and meeting my kids.
Amazing. Yeah,
you know,
But
there's always the brightest star in the sky. And I was kind of saying to myself, I had never noticed it before. But then I'm like, that's him. That's him. You know, I think.
What was his name?
There's Sunday Oloche.
Sundayology.
Yeah, so Sunny for short. So I actually call my daughter Sunny Ray.
Ah, lovely.
His namesake, yeah.
There's loads more to talk to you about, Eimear. And every time you come in, because I want to expand on this, and there's loads more, and there's postnatal depression and all that sort of thing. And I don't want to start a conversation that we don't have time to finish.
Yeah.
So we'll do that another time.
Absolutely.
But I'll remind people about irevise.com. irevise.com. And we wish you the best of luck with
Thank
the Eurovision
so
Song
much.
Contest.
Thank you. And people are like, can you actually sing? Can we hear you sing?
We can't play it.
Are they the rules?
Yeah,
I think so. Like, you know, I'm not going to take a chance on it, Ray, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But on my Instagram, I do have a video up of me singing when I was in Morocco. So if you want to hear what the pipes sound like, go on to the old Instagram, Eimear O'Neill 14, and check me out. Leave a comment and be nice.
It's pretty exciting.
I'm putting myself out there in an extremely vulnerable position. This is not easy. But also, dream big, guys.
I love this aspect of it. I love this, that you're coming out and that other band are coming out. And
it's, yeah, what,
adds
it makes
the excitement.
Fun.
Yes.
Oh, come on, everyone. Eurovision is the best. Let's go.
thanks, Eimear. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Rachel.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Glenn Hanser, good afternoon.
How are you? Are you Ray?
Introduce me to your friend.
This is Anna Vidovskoye.
Vidovikovska.
Vidovikovska.
Yeah.
Anna is a Ukrainian singer, actor, but also military volunteer who I met through, actually I met through Aslan, who had made a lovely documentary about their song Crazy World, and they had Ukrainian singers sing on their song. And I saw the TV show when I was, and I contacted Christy and asked him, could I get in contact with the singers because I had this song that I was working on. And that's how we met. Yeah, incredible.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. How long are you in Ireland, Anna?
Oh, I really don't remember. Maybe half of the year with all of movements to Ukraine and back.
Mm. And yes. Whereabouts in Ukraine are you from?
Lviv is west part of Ukraine.
Mm. West part. Okay, yeah, that's right. Closer to Russia.
No, closer to Poland.
Oh, West, sorry, so you're right. Yeah. Sorry, I have it all wrong there. And who's back at home?
Oh, all my family came here. And I also came here to support my grandma because she has health problems.
Ah.
And now I think in December I'll come back to Ukraine.
Right. You're watching, obviously, everything that's going on over there. I'm
yeah, sure.
fascinated by what Glenn said. Can you tell us much about your military activity?
Okay, now I'm kind of working in a community center in Dublin, and it's my, I don't know, main part in Dublin to do, because there are many Ukrainians who need some support. But also I work by remote in Ukraine. It's kind of military volunteering, yes, and I'm buying some equipments and military optics and radios. And then I have second part of my job is kind of teaching or instructing soldiers what to do with their radios.
Aha, right. So communications.
Yes.
In the Ukrainian army. That's important work.
It's really new work for me, but I try to do my best.
Okay. Now, Glenn, like the rest of us back in February, you saw what was happening and probably frustrated at how useless you were.
Frustrated, bewildered. And I remember sitting down with my guitar, which is kind of what you do when you're a musician. You tend to write songs about stuff that, if you know, you always just follow what moves you. And if something moves you enough, I will go to the instrument and I'll start playing. And I remember noticing, I was actually in America at the time, and there was a post by Patti Smith on her Instagram. And it was her on stage in this kind of manic, shamanic mode that she gets into, where, you know, the band were playing Gloria behind her and she's just like, wah. And at one point in the song, she's breaking the strings off her guitar and she's like, and then she just goes, people, take heart. It will get better. And if it doesn't get better, we'll make it better. You know, so, and I remember just thinking, like, sitting in the hotel going, there's the words right there that for me spoke directly to how I was feeling. The bewilderment and the kind of uselessness and anger. And so I picked up my guitar and I just sang, people take heart, it will get better. And then that was it. And then I had this little bit of an idea for a song. And then, you know, I added a couple more lines. And then I came home, and then the house where I live We had taken in two Ukrainian families, and I got into conversations with Maria, one of the mothers, one of the young mothers who lives in our house. And she told me all about what was going on for her and the way the song kind of wrote itself, because I was basically just listening to her and the song kind of came, really was her words reimagined, if you like, or reset to the... So right. that's where the song was born out of. So thank you, Patti Smith, for the opening.
Did she know?
Yeah, no, I contacted her and asked her, would it be okay to use it? And she was like, absolutely. She said, when did I say that?
Yeah, it is. Things we say, they can mean something
yeah.
a lot to other people, and we forget them.
You exactly. Know, it's, she was just in a moment.
Yes, yeah. So, but that's nice for her to hear, isn't it, that you've turned it into
a song? She was very kind about it, because, you know, even where there's a group now working with UNICEF, and they wanted to use a lyric from the song on a T-shirt to sell as a, you know, as a thing for the charity. And they asked me, could they use the Take Heart line? And I was like, well, I better actually contact Patti again. And she was like, look, she said, it's your song. Yeah. Everything I said on the stage is my words and what it meant to me, but what it means to you, and now your thing, just go, right, take it. Right. So she's been very good.
Put it on a T-shirt, put it on whatever you like. Yeah.
yeah
put
yeah.
it on a van. Okay, so let's hear the song then,
oh,
Take
yes.
Heart. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're going to take up position there. So Marquita is on the recording, which you can stream and download, and all the proceeds from the song are going to ukrainianaction.ie, and they're helping Ukrainian people in Ireland.
Yes, that's the group who are listening actually now, so right. Hello to everybody.
They're
Hi listening
everybody.
And they just basically help kind of process people through Ireland and sort of show them where to go and yeah. who to call, and you know. So, like, I know that City West has made a, you know,
has closed down.
It's kind of closed down for now, but yeah. so we that's a whole other a whole other conversation. But so this is for all the people who are tuned in.
So yourself, Anna's on back and vocals, and Joe's on double bass. When you're ready,
people take heart. It will get better. Though our worlds come apart, and any moment could end, there'll be no retreating. We'll fight till the end. Mourners and keeners will have reason to sing, but we're not giving in. Take heart, it will get easier. Take heart, and when the moon is full over Mariupol, I'll hold on with all my strength. Through the weeks, through the minutes and the hours, and when the sky is alight over the whole eastern Donbass tonight, I'll wait among the bowed and heavy heads of the sunflowers. Take heart, it will get easier. Take heart, people take part, we'll do it together. Though we knew from the start we may never again see our glory reflected on the gathering winds. We'll forge an alliance of lovers and friends, and we're fighting to win. And when the moon is full over Mariupol, I'll hold on with all my strength. Through the weeks, through the minutes, through the hours, and when the sky is alight and I don't hear no word from you,
of the sunflower.
That was lovely. That was really lovely. Well, Anna, well done. That was lovely. You better translate what you were singing in the middle there. What were you singing?
It's an unofficial hymn of Crimean Tatars. This song is about the garden that the woman lives in Alushta. This woman who written this text, she was in Uzbekistan there. In that time when she has written these words, and she was thinking about her garden, about her youth years ago. that she can't return.
The refrain was, return to me, return to me, return to me unharmed.
Yeah, yes. Povernice domene, povernice domene.
Yes.
Which is something that I asked my neighbor Anna Maria to. I said, how would I say this? And I had to learn how to sing it, and she was very helpful. So simple idea of just please.
It's lovely, it's beautiful, lovely, thank beautiful. You. Yeah. Listen, thank congratulations you. To you on that, and
thank you, and
Christy.
Oh, thank you.
You're now Christy. The significance of the name, because you. A son, yourself, and Moira.
Moira.
September 10th,
yes.
2022.
Yes, full moon.
Wasn't it right?
The day Britain declared a new king, and we declared our own king.
All right. And why Christy?
Well, I've always just liked the name Christy, but it was kind of partly as a tribute to me, Christopher.
Right. Yeah.
And so Christy, and he's just, you know, it's just my whole life has just been eclipsed by a love I can't measure or understand. It's, you know, when everyone says, oh, you're going to love it, it's going to be, it's just unbelievable. And Myra, like how she has just stepped into motherhood and how she's blowing me away every day. And every time we look, you know, we're being kept up, of course, because there's no pattern to everything right now. And, every time I look at him, it's like, you know, it's like a battery. He just refills you every time. And it's a love I've never known. My heart is blown wide open.
Changed you.
Change. Well, yeah, yeah. I'm no longer the most important person in my own life.
And you were very important in your own life up until September 10th, 2022. So, you see the world through their eyes, I suppose, do you? Or?
Yes. Yeah, and suddenly, because I was, you know, I'm changing his nappy and I'm going, I wonder, did my dad ever change my nappy? And of course, I can't ask my parents. They're both gone.
Yes.
But, you know, I was like, I really would have loved this for my dad. But they were different times.
It was interesting, though, because this is the thing that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Like, my dad's generation didn't change nappies.
Yeah.
Like, I remember talking to Gay Byrne. Gay Byrne never changed a nappy in his life.
Okay.
Di O'Shea's dad never changed a nappy.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a whole new generation of dads now, of course. Everybody gets its hands on.
Oh, it's amazing. Know. And also, now we've just started. He's only 5 weeks, but now we've got him on the potty.
Already?
Already. I can't believe it. Myra figured out some community, I can't remember what the name of it is, but some kind of communication thing where you hold him up above the potty and you make a sound and he kind of knows.
Right.
And it's amazing.
It's like a Pavlovian response.
That's what it is.
Yeah, he associates it's the sound with pooing or whatever.
Okay.
It's like Pavlov's dog, you know.
Because the dog used to salivate
when he heard a bell.
Right, okay.
So that's what she's using there.
Because he loves to be bare-arsed, you know. Like
does he?
When you take the nappy off him, he just suddenly lights up. He's like, he's freedom, you know. But we live in a big old house, which is kind of, you know, it's hard to heat. So
hold on. Rewind there, Glenn.
So
you're potty training, a five-week... A 5 week old.
I can't believe it. The last 3 days, he's consistently gone in the potty. Yeah.
But it's mad because in his lifetime, Liz Truss has been made Prime Minister and she's resigned.
No.
That's mad. He's seen that, hasn't he? And a new king as well. Yeah. That's brilliant. Do you mind me sharing your age with people?
Not at all.
Yeah, 52.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it a thing you thought about before it happened? You know,
well, absolutely.
Because like Joe was in the frames there, yep. Joe's with us, and, yep. and all the lads and Colm, they all went off. And
yeah, yeah, they all had families.
Started families, yeah.
You know, and when I was like, because I would all, you know, I sort of figured we should all be members of the fire brigade. Like, I'd ring everybody up and go, come on, we have a gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people would be like, well, I don't know if I can make the gig, actually. And now I get it.
Yeah.
Now I really get it, because it's just everything just takes a different priority.
Right.
You know?
What about, and I hate using the word process, but what about songwriting and that? Is, you know, because you have this focus, this change of seeing the world and this love, that's obviously going to inform what you do.
It's incredible. Because we spend a lot of time with him, so I'm just looking at him the whole time and I'm singing. You know, there's a beautiful old song your mother used to sing to us, "Oh, you are a mucky kid." It was like something like, "With filthy doors and like droopy eyes like dustbin lids. And when he finds out what you did, you're going to get a hiding." Like this, it was like this song, you know.
It's lovely, like, lovely.
Yeah.
Just get the ISPCC on the line there.
No, but like just this beautiful song that I remember my mother's, but it only came back to me when we had Christy. So I'm singing it to him. Yeah. And then of course.
I know your mother used to sing Young Hearts Run Free to You in the bath.
Yes, she did, yeah. There was a lot of music in our house. My mom loved to sing. And it's funny, when I saw Christy, I was like, there's me dad, because my dad was a boxer and he had big hands, and I was like, so it's amazing how you can just you can see the generations,
and that's the thing as well. And it is sad that your parents aren't, because that's another thing that's sort of hardwired into us, I think, is to make a connection between that generation and because I found that when I became a dad, that I immediately wanted to make a connection between my kids and my parents, you know.
Exactly.
There's something hardwired in, isn't there, Joe? Joe knows that, yeah. And once is 15 years old.
That's right.
And Marquita was back in town recently. I missed her because I got the COVID.
I was singing with her that night and she told me she was in,
because I was really looking forward to hearing her, and they said she was lovely when she came in, and she sang beautifully. And she appears on Take Heart.
Yeah.
15 years, it's mad to think, isn't it?
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
It was an amazing time in our lives. You know, fair play to John Carney. He writes beautiful films, and just the way that came together, and it was just so easy. We made it, and then we didn't think anything of it. We just kind of carried on, and then a year later, John was finished with it and ready for it to go out. And it was just a completely new chapter, an amazing chapter of our lives.
Yeah. I met him recently, John. Mm. He's working on a biopic of the Bee Gees.
No way.
Yeah. So there'll be a connection there between you and the Bee Gees.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, and then you wrote songs for the Sean Penn film last year.
Flag Day, yeah.
And he went out with Madonna. Like, it's a tiny little world, isn't it? It's a tiny little world. And if I'm listening, you didn't say anything about this, but I was listening to that very carefully. I was listening to Take Heart.
Yeah.
And on the recorded version, there's a choir, obviously.
Yeah.
There's a choir. And then there's that sort of, you know what's the musical term for it, but there's all sorts of layers of various harmonies.
Yes, yes.
Now, maybe I'm imagining things, but I thought I recognised another male voice that wasn't yours near the end.
There's another male voice and comes in at the end.
Yeah.
Who's that? He would prefer if we didn't say that. He would prefer if we didn't tell you. There's a mystery singer at the end of Take Heart, and I love him, and he's a beautiful man. And I sent the song off to him to ask him what he thought. He sent me back a voicemail with his. So I'll leave it up to people if they listen to the end and tell me who you think it is.
So you sent this person a thing for advice or for like,
yeah, just yeah, to sorry, what notes. Do you think of this? It was something, you know. I have a few friends who I would, you know, send songs to, and they'd send songs to me and go, "What do you think? What do you think this is? Sounds, does this sound finished? Do you believe this?" Or whatever the question might be. And and sometimes, you know, you'll send a song to someone and they'll sort of go, "Here, try this bit at the end." They send you a voicemail
of them singing
along to you, and then you just we just stuck it into the song, and it kind of. And it's lovely because there's a lovely positivity hold on, just gotta rise at the end. And we stuck it in, and I said, "Do you mind if we use it?" And he was like, yeah, use it. But, you know, don't be using me now. Like, just you go and do your thing. Don't distract it with
That's intriguing, isn't it? Name. That's intriguing now. You have to be intrigued.
Mystery voice at the end. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think who it might be. Because you know so many people, you know. It could be Eddie Vedder.
It could be
Eddie Vedder. Yeah. Could be Christy Moore. It could be any number of people, couldn't it? Yeah. Anyway, there you, if you go and listen to Take Heart, you can try and figure it out for yourself. I could get a bright light and subject it to some sort of torture just to
No, it's no big deal.
Right, okay. Well, Take Heart is there to stream and to download, and all the proceeds are going to ukrainianaction.ie. It's a beautiful song. Well done, Anna. And Anna, thanks so much. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you. And, nice to meet
you. We all hope, of course, that things work out. You know, we all hope things work out for your country. But until such time as they do, you're always welcome here.
Thank you so much.
Joe, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Glenn. We'll take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning, good morning. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend. And the reviews are in for the song. Beautiful song, beautiful. Lovely song, Glenn and Anna. Very poignant for the awful times Ukrainians are living through, says Jim. Take heart. Absolutely beautiful. There is our Eurovision entry. Well, the fact that it's up there on Spotify excludes it from the Eurovision, unfortunately. And I was living in the US when Once came out. Watched it in the cinema there and spent a large portion of the movie sobbing as it made me homesick for Dublin. Another Glenn Hansard anecdote, mid-90s, I was a roadie for a band that were playing the same gig as The Frames. While they were on stage, we stole their beer. Sorry, Glenn, just that person. I read that to Glenn before he left. And congratulations to Glenn on being a dad. I hope he's loving every minute of it. Great to know there are more children in the world who will be brought up listening to great music. Can you thank Glenn for the last 20 years of brilliant live music? I first saw The Frames when they played in Letterkenny 20 years ago next month, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Jennifer, you know, The Frames formed in 1990. That's 32 years ago. Tell Glenn that I saw him play a gig in Melbourne at the Recital Centre when I was 6 months pregnant, and it was one of the best gigs of my life, and I went on for 2 hours longer than I should, and I was dying to go to the loo but couldn't leave. My son, who is now 9, never has a guitar out of his hands. I'd say that Glenn had some small part in that, says Melanie from Limerick. Maybe you'd like to hear that. And I said hello to Glenn from Rise and Shine in Cork, which is a sourdough bread shop. And he said, oh yeah, oh yeah. Right, quiz time. And we have two quizzers standing by, and one of them will get a prize, which is a two-night stay for two people in one of the I Knew It Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels, the Hibernian in Kilkenny, the Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove in Monaghan, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Inua.ie, I-N-U-A.ie. And thanks to everybody there for helping us out this week with the quiz. Hello, Catherine. It's not Catherine, it's Katrina. Sorry. I can't read my own writing. Isn't that it? I should have been a doctor.
Ray,
I should have been a doctor.
How are you, Katrina? Friday.
Yeah. Good to talk to you.
And you.
Now, I believe that you think it's cold.
I am absolutely freezing. Everybody is saying the weather, wasn't the weather fantastic and the temperature is really high?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely freezing.
Because it is. It's up there around 15 degrees. They're saying 17 for tomorrow.
I know, but that's not 23, Ray.
No, you're right. Oh, you're a 23 woman.
Oh, I'm 30.
Right. So you could go off and hibernate from September,
that's
could you?
That's what I'm going to do. I have to give everybody a break and hibernate. I'm a real sun person.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as the sun comes out, I'm out as well.
We were talking about this at home actually about humans hibernating because my wife was suggesting that maybe she would do it, you know.
No, look, you wake up in the morning and it's pitch dark.
Yeah it's hard to get out of bed. Okay,
get out of bed and it's raining and thunder, lightning, and oh no.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea. We'll all hibernate.
But the other thing that's lovely is the curling up on the sofa in the evening watching a movie with the people you love or your dog or whatever, you know.
There's only so many movies on Netflix.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I've seen them all now at this stage.
Here's one for you. It's only recently landed on Netflix. It's Donald Sutherland. Mr. Harrigan's Phone. It's based on the horror writer who wrote The Shining. What's his name?
Oh Lord,
Stephen King. It's
God.
No.
Yeah, no.
It's not that scary. It's a good movie, and Donald Sutherland is brilliant in it. It's based on a Stephen King short story. What?
On the edge of your seat.
Well, not really. It's subtle, you know, but it's good. It's good. And, of course, well acted as well because Donald Sutherland's in there. Okay.
I'll let you know how we get on when we watch
it. Okay. Your dog's name is?
My dog's name is Mitzi. She's a half Maltese and half Shih Tzu.
Right.
And my mother would have said a few years ago, had I said that, were you mean a mongrel?
So it's a mitsu or a mitsu.
It's a malchu.
A malchu, a malchu. Yeah. Mitzi is a malchu. Mitzi is a malchu.
Right. Who's the woman of the house. I'm the dog in her life and she's the lady of the manor.
Right, I won't analyse that.
No, please don't.
You're up against Ken Horn in County Tipperary. How are you doing, Ken?
Good, Ray, how are you?
Good, you were enjoying Glenn Hansard there.
Enjoying him immensely, yeah. Glenn has always been a good one.
Yeah, he's such a brilliant singer, isn't he? And guitar player and lovely man, thoughtful, all that sort of thing. Yeah, do you play a bit of music yourself?
I do indeed. I've done for many of the year.
Right, what sort of stuff?
We were in a covers band since the 70s, the early 70s. Kind of started off in the folky tradition and then went a bit kind of more towards the rock side, you know? Yes. Anything 60s, 70s, all that kind of stuff.
What's
you know?
The, name us a couple of songs that you cover.
I would have covered most of the Simon and Garfunkel catalogue and, you know, come up and through to Dire Straits, whatever.
Sultan's a Swing.
Sultan's a Swing, yeah. We used to do an acoustic version of that myself and my playing partner at the time, Dominic Driscoll. Yeah, two acoustic guitarists doing Sultan's a Swing. We became renowned for doing it.
All right. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant song. Do you have a name for the band?
Oh, then in those days, what were we known as then? That's a long time ago. I think we were Moonshadow back then.
Right, Moonshadow.
Yeah,
right.
That would have been in the late '70s, early '80s.
Yeah. And you still tip away at it, do you, Ken?
These days, I sing to an audience of one. I sing to my wife at home.
Isn't that lovely?
No, it's not. She tells me to shut up.
I'd love to be able to sing. I'm sort of jealous of you, envious of you. Okay, so three questions each, Ken and Katrina.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Katrina. Best of luck.
Good luck to you too.
Yeah, you know the deal. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. If you go for a short clip, it's more difficult. So you get 2 points, and whoever is the most on points is the winner. And if the draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both, Katrina and Ken. Here we go. Okay, 20 years ago, Katrina, 2002. And we're starting at the movies. Would you like a long clip or a short clip?
A short clip.
Right. Okay, Jennifer Lopez and Ralph Fiennes, is it Ray Fiennes, starred in this romantic comedy set in New York, whose characters were embroiled in a love affair based on a case of mistaken identity. And here is your short clip.
The first time you saw me, I was cleaning your bathroom floor, only you didn't see me.
Well, what was I supposed to introduce myself when I'm taking a leak?
Was it Made in New York?
Oh, I can't give it to you. It's so close, but it ain't right. It's Made in Manhattan.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I just couldn't give it to you, you know. So close. There you go. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Ken.
Yeah.
Movies from 2002. What do you want to do?
I'll try short.
Okay. Also romantic comedy. Nia Vardalos stars as a young woman who struggles to get her family to accept her partner while she comes to terms with her heritage and cultural identity. And here's your short clip.
He don't eat no meat.
No, he doesn't eat meat.
What do you mean he don't eat no meat?
Ray, I haven't a clue.
Right. My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Uh-huh.
Very funny if you haven't seen it. Well worth a watch. So no points for Katrina or Ken. So it's even as we go into our second question. And Katrina, it's on music. So do you want to go long or short?
Short.
Okay, music from 2002. This rapper had two songs to go to number one in Ireland in 2002. This one was one of them. Can you name him or the song?
Attention, please.
Feel attention. Soon as someone mentions me, here's my 10 cents. My 2 cents is free.
Was it 90 cents? 2 cents?
2 cents? Was it 1 euro? Was it 5 euro? 3 cents? 50 cents? It wasn't 50 cents. No.
50 cents.
It wasn't 50
M&M,
cents.
M&M.
No, you can't. You see, you have to take.
No, I'm only joking. I really meant Eminem.
They're shaking their head out there. I have to go to a Stewart's Inquiry. I'm sorry. So Neil, what do you? Yeah, you said, give me a name. I can't take Eminem. I'm sorry. That's it's Neil and Emily out there. They're saying no.
Emily. Emily. You're desperate.
That was terrible of me for passing on the blame. But there you go. It's Friday. I'm out the door. You can deal with it.
They're lovely girls.
Okay, I tell you what he said. If this is okay with Ken, we can give you 1 point.
Oh, definitely.
Is that okay? Okay, we'll give you 1 point for that.
Absolutely.
And it is Eminem, and it's without me, and it's 1 point for entertainment, Katharina. Okay, right. Right, Ken. So music from 2002. What do you want to do?
I'm going to take a risk and disgrace myself and then go short.
Okay. This Canadian pop rocker went to number one in Ireland with this angst-ridden anthem. Can you name the song or the singer?
I like you the way you are when we're driving in your car.
That's what's her name? Taylor Swift, is it?
No.
No,
it's
Shania
Twain. No.
Well,
it's Avril Lavigne. Avril Lavigne, complicated.
Avril Lavigne. Okay. Oh my God.
Okay, now, Katrina, you were on one.
Did I win?
No, you didn't win yet.
Not yet.
You have one more question. It's news and current affairs from 2002.
Oh, God. Yeah, now, go on.
Long or short?
Oh, short. Now, might as well.
Now, listen to me, Katrina.
What?
Dudley in Nace. What? I have to accept your first answer. Okay?
Okay.
Rightio. Right.
Okay,
there you go. I'm getting all teacher-like. Okay. Nadine Coyle hit the headlines that year after being discovered for a little while for a little white lie about her age on a talent show called Pop Stars. What we want to know is, what group was formed in that show?
Six.
Right. There you go. Six it is. Six it is. That gives you two. Ken.
I'm gone.
You're gone. You can't catch her. You can't catch her.
I'm toast. I'll end with you. You can do one night and I'll do another.
Like, there you go. There you go. That's brilliant. We can arrange that. We can arrange that. We can arrange that off air.
One, you can do that.
Yeah, we can do that. Okay. Are you saying that to me, Katrina, now? One night each?
I am, yes.
Okay, well, that's...
He was as good as a participant as I was.
Yeah, you were, yeah. Both of you were very entertaining. Okay, Katrina Dudley and Ken Horn, both winners today, each get one night in one of the iNew Collection gorgeous four-star hotels, and both of you can go to iNew.ie.
Thanks, Ken.
And you get a Ray Darcy Show mug as well.
Thanks,
okay,
Ray.
See you, Katrina. Have a great weekend. See you,
bye.
Ken. Bye, 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 bye.
The Ray
bye,
Darcy
bye, bye.
Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The man of many voices, Mario Rosenstock, joins us in Studio 7. Anything can happen now in the next few minutes.
Oh, yeah. Bank of Ireland. Are you sick of breaking up with your bank, are you? Oh, God.
That's an amazing story about Baz. Getting the £1 million for the ad. It's amazing. Ray says to me he's getting £1 million for the Bank of Ireland. There will be no Bank of Ireland after Baz is finished.
There's no bank to break up with because I've broken the Bank of Ireland. I've broken up with it. Me ma and myself have taken £1 million out of Bank of Ireland.
Mario Rosenstock is in studio and on tour next year. All over the place.
With a brand new show.
Gift Grub Live. I see, but like... Just go back to the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because Gift Grub was Bertie, wasn't it? It was based on Bertie.
It was 1997 or 1999, Ray.
Yeah.
And Bertie Ahern was basically, can you imagine this, young and fresh faced. And the leader, now this is even more ironic, the leader of the UK was very stable United Kingdom at the time was Tony Blair.
Right.
You know, absolutely. Hi, Ray. You know, I'm shiny, clean, never make a mistake. Tony Blair. There's never a political cock up. And I'm Bertie. And everything was, it was honky dory. And the peace process happened. And then that was 23 years ago now, Ray.
And you're still flying.
Still
it.
Going, still going.
The place has
changed radically since then. Now.
Well, and roles have been reversed. Will I just go through those very quickly? So it's February to April 2023, Royal Theatre Castlebar, Radisson Athlone, Hotel Kilkenny, three nights in the Cork Opera House,
woo!
TLT Theatre, Drogheda, INEC, Killarney, UCH, all the letters here, Limerick, Leisureland Galway, Knocknarie Arena, Sligo, Mullingar Park Hotel, Wexford Opera House, Olympia Theatre by three. And then you're very excited about going back to your home place in the new Setu Arena. So
yes.
That's the southeast
in Waterford
Technological University.
Like as John Milan says, I loves me county, Ray. I loves me county. I know you're from Kildare, boy. And I know you loves Newbridge and Atoy, but I loves me county. And Mario Rosenstock loves Waterford. And that's why I'm going back there to this lovely arena. But
hold on.
Oh my God, you
introduced John Milan.
Oh, there you go, boy.
Unbelievable, boy. Look at the way he got his Harley in there and clattered the arse off him.
So big news this week, Des Dez said he's retiring from the Sunday game.
That's right. Well, see, this is ironic that you should say that, because I was saying to Neil before I came in today, I was saying, every time you have me on your show, ironically and coincidentally, you have been a big player in a Gift Grub sketch that goes out this right. week. And you were this week as well. And I was kind of half mortified when I come in here that Ray has me on and he's been in one of the sketches. Because I get three or four texts from RTE going, we all heard it in here. That's not Baz, by the way. And so I did a sketch earlier in the week where I'm kind of wondering who will RTE use to replace Des Cahill on the Sunday game.
And I love Des Cahill because I always kind of fall asleep when he's talking. It's as if he's just on the edge of yawning, but he never actually yawns. He's just kind of relaxed.
So we sort of imagined RTE with two RTE executives called Mirsch and Fionnán, or was it Fionnán and Mirsch? And they just say, right, we need some entertainment. Sunday game needs to be entertaining. Who will we get? Do you want to play the music there when I do it?
Oh, yeah.
Who will we get? Okay. Who will we get? Who will we get, Mirsch? I know, Fionnán. We need entertainment. I know. We'll get Marty Whelan. Ho, ho, ho. Marty Whelan here. Welcome to the Sunday game. And everything sounds like when somebody's coming out of when the matches are playing, everything sounds like they're winning a prize. First up, they've got Limerick will play. Doing, 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 doing. Cork, Tipperary. Where will they play? Doing, 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 doing. It's Semple Stadium. And they say, that didn't work, Fionnán. That didn't work. Who else will we get? Who else could we get? Why not Miriam O'Callaghan?
Hello and welcome to the Sunday game. Tonight, the Sunday game investigates. We investigate how there are secret plans to turn Dublin into 17 different teams. But first, I'm joined on the couch by Desi Farrell. Desi, fresh from a 59 points victory over Laois. But tell me, you were born in the north side of Dublin. What was that like growing up?
No, it didn't work, Fionnán. We need more. We need more presenters. Who else will we get? I know. Ray D'Arcy.
Oh, no.
How are you? Ray D'Arcy here. Welcome to the Sunday game. You are live on the telly. Ha ha ha. There's nobody here, Ray. Sorry, joke. Ha ha ha. Okay, let's just press this button here. No, not that button. No, we rewind. Tyrone versus... No, stop. Oh, wait. Look. No. Sorry. Ray is actually... Guys, audience. Ray is actually playing along with me, doing the sound effects of him making a mess of it. As he does every day. No, it's not working. I told you it wouldn't work. Neil, it was a bad idea. Neil, go away. Leave me alone. Sunday game is crap. It's all over. I know. I played a bit of Gaelic in my time, but I'm better at rugby.
I did play a bit of Gaelic in my time, actually, as it happens.
So that was the idea, anyway. And you came out and people loved Ray. They said Ray would be brilliant presenting the Sunday game.
Do you know, I did sports presenting back in the 1994 World Cup, was it? You'd remember. When was it in America?
1994.
There you go.
Yeah. You're rarely wrong, Ray. I know you sort of kind of put yourself down a lot. But I probably got this wrong, but it was 1994, was it? Yeah, that's right, Ray.
I was second string to the late Bill O'Hurley. Now, you're obviously watching what's going on across. Like, it's difficult to lampoon something so mad, isn't it? Like, what's happening in Britain?
Well, this is, again, what I was saying earlier on to Neil. We were chatting and I at times like this, Ray, when you see what's going on in the United Kingdom, at times as a kind of a comedian and a satirist, you end up having periods of self-loathing. And I'll tell you why that is. Because it's at periods like this, I find myself unconsciously saying, I want the worst possible thing to happen here. And what's that? Well, I shouldn't really be saying this, love if Boris came back. And I'm going, my ontological brain is going, that is the worst thing for Britain, and it's the worst thing for Ireland. It's the worst thing for the Northern Irish Protocol. It's the worst thing for the world. It's the worst thing for 65 million people, for Wales, for Scotland, for Northern Ireland. But in my little tiny satirist's comedian's stupid heart, I'm there, but I hope he comes back. I kind of do, because at least I'll have a sketch on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. And you know why? Why is he so attractive? He's so attractive because he has this couple of golden, you know, things that are required for a comedian. He has this recognisable voice. He has this sense of certainty about when he speaks. And he uses, he uses catchphrases, which we can all kind of understand, you know. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me say to you, my friend in the colonies, you know, in the words of Yaz and the plastic population, Red Bull gives you wings, my friend. Ipso facto, chumba wamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat. Maybe it's Maybelline. And maybe it's not. Have a mint. Find a mint. Find a mint with a hole, my friends. Foxhole Astra. Huzzah! You're going, I don't quite know what he said. I don't know what he said.
He said it with confidence.
He said it with confidence. And of course, yes. This is the instinct we all have as peasants and slaves and punters. We just hear the man saying something with such vigorous confidence that we go, he must be right. He must
what did
be
you
right,
think
so.
Of Kenneth Branagh's portrayal of Boris Johnson?
I did not like it.
Did you not?
No.
Why not?
Oh, because I thought he looked creepy. I thought he looked like a man in a mask.
Yeah, well, he did have a
mask.
No,
I thought he looked... Yeah, yeah. But I thought he looked like a man in a mask. Yes, yeah. I thought if that fella came to your door, you'd call it Halloween.
Mm.
And then at times, this is, of course, this is a bit nerdy now, but at times when he was doing the act, so he's in front of people and he's going... and he's blustering and he's doing all that. And then in every other scene, he's like, so can I have the marshmallow, please? And you're going, sorry, why has Kenneth Branagh just become Kenneth Branagh all of a sudden in most of the scenes?
And there was a lot of Shakespearean quotes, wasn't there?
Yeah, and of course, that was nodding a tip of the hat to Branagh,
yeah,
in a sense, because Boris knows, although he's writing a book of Shakespeare, that is clear indication he knows nothing about Shakespeare. He wrote a book about Churchill. He knows absolutely nothing about Churchill.
Right.
You know, I mean, the funniest thing I've read today, because it's changing on Twitter all the time. Right, the funniest thing is apparently Boris is ringing people from his holiday villa in Barbados, telling them that he's changed and he's ready to be a changed man from his holiday villa in Barbados. He is the errant husband, isn't he? You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is the errant husband.
Yeah, yeah,
and I suppose,
I won't do it again.
And I suppose the DUP are the hopeless wife.
Yeah.
Oh, please, Boris, don't let us down this time. Oh, my friends, I've finished with all of that stuff. Please just reinvent me and let me come back into the country.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be unbearable if he got back in, though. Yeah. Because it is, you know, you wanted me gone and now look what you got when I went.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to overstate the point, but and I don't want to be, you know, libelous or rude or overly rude on an afternoon radio program or anything. But I find very few people I would despise more to their core than this man.
Right.
And yet I have this fatal flaw which kind of wants him back in me. I mean, I think he is a cancer and a poison,
right,
and everything that we hold to be. And I mean, this is interesting that I'm coming from this side of the world saying this, Ray. I mean, for once in Ireland, we can look across the water and go, they are a total basket case.
Total basket.
Total basket case.
Other things. Were you spotted on an electric scooter?
Yes.
All right.
Why?
No, I just.
I have an electric scooter.
You have an electric scooter.
Yeah.
No, but do you know what? When I heard it, I said, that makes complete sense.
Why?
Mario Rosenstock on an electric scooter.
Well, I don't drive.
You suit your, you know, because see, that's sort of pose.
Do
sort
I?
Of, you know, upright, erect, you know.
But I don't drive, Ray.
Yes.
I don't drive. But you know what it is about an electric scooter,
right?
And I know you see, you're getting closer to me now, aren't you? Because you're kind of on your bike and you feel like you're getting closer to me now. You and me can kind of go for a little mandate. You on your bike and me on an electric scooter. We get into British together, Ray. Maybe meet the happy pair twins and go for a little sunrise swim.
Well done, lads. Show us your abs. Well done, Mario, you need to lose weight. Eat more hake and more porridge. Mario, you're too heavy. Mario, you're 8 pounds overweight. Whereas I'm ding, 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 ding. Perfect weight again. Well done, Jenny. We put that on the podcast tonight. Well done. Baz here. Ray, break up from your bank.
You must have
Can I finish my joke about Lee?
No, because you must have been delirious, because there's one more person to get to. You must have been delirious when Blackbird was released and Michael Flatley doing his Bond-like secret agent type thing.
Arabi Jesus, tickle me owl shillelagh and cradle me cockles. I was absolutely over the moon because a trout in the pot is better than a salmon in the sea. And all these jokes I've been doing for years. Do you know, actually, people are contacting the programme, Ray, going, sorry, I never knew Michael Flatley actually talked like that until I saw the movie. They thought I was taking the piss.
Right.
They thought I was having a joke about this guy Michael Flatley, and then a lot of people got in touch with, sorry, he actually does talk like that, and he has to do another movie.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Right. Well, I haven't seen it.
it's
look, it's bankrupt. Bank of Ireland would lose all their cash on this.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Because you know it's Michael Flatley,
yeah.
But there will be a Blackbird too. And he will have he will be James Bond again in his white suit, and he will have another case to solve, and it'll be world breaking thing. But this stage, the story will have to be there is a crisis in and cheating, mass cheating in Irish fesh dancing. And Flatley is the spy to uncover it. And everybody will be dancing, diddly 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 diddly, and he'll pull his flute out and he'll turn it into a gun. Ah, be Jesus and be Gara. And that's what it'll be like, because it'll have to be fesh dancing, because that story is never going to go away. That's more corrupt than anything you've seen in a James Bond
story, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean brilliant, it's very interesting.
Do you know the twist in it?
The outside.
There'll be a twist in it. He finds out from the baddie, Laura Osso, Muraku, McDonough, Mail Downing, or whatever.
That's very good.
I just made that up.
Yeah, I know.
He'll find out, be Jesus, I won the Irish Dancing Championships myself. And Mail Downing will go, no, you didn't, Michael. 'Twas fixed. Are you saying I'm not the dancer I said I was? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's
right. And then the tagline to the movie is going to be great. I made Irish dancing dirty. Now I'm going to make it clean.
Blackbird 2. There you go.
And I finished my bit about...
No, yeah, we've got to say we're done. You just tell them where Ticketmaster, Gift Grub Live, brand new show, nationwide tour from
Tickets
February to April.
Went on sale this morning at 9 a.m.
Mario, great to see you.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
See you on my scooter, Darren.
Yeah.
Happy pair of twins.
That's it from us. Now, Katrina and Ken are going to get two nights each, thanks to I Knew It, which is great. They were their two quizzers today. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. I hope you have a brilliant weekend. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.